Jonah tonight. If you can turn there in just a moment, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12 first this evening. And I did speak with Pastor earlier this afternoon and talking to him about the service earlier this morning. And he's encouraged to hear of all of you that have been involved in things. And once again, I know his desire is that he could be here with us. But he did mention and ask that we look at these verses here tonight. And these are our theme verses for the year. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 3. We're going to read these verses together. If you would like, if you could please begin together with me. We're in Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 3. Ready, begin. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And remember, Pastor has his honor list, the pastor's honor list. I believe I'm saying that correctly. And I've already seen the board. It is in the office. And you can have your name on that board. The challenge is that we would all together memorize this verse. And so not during the message tonight, please. But do your best to have that memorized. And if you get it memorized, you quote it to somebody, the pastor's asked that you have that person you quoted to write some sort of a note saying, Mr. J.R. Ontoy has quoted Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 3 in its entirety, and put your John Hancock in the bottom, and that will be all that's necessary to put your name on that board, okay? And so we're in Jonah chapter 1 tonight. Jonah chapter 1, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll look together at this passage with one another. Jonah chapter 1. Let's pray. Our heavenly gracious Father, Lord, we thank you for tonight. And Lord, I thank you for each and every one who is here this evening. Lord, I pray that you would give us a focus upon your word this evening. Lord, give me a clarity of mind. Lord, remove the distractions that I know Satan would love to insert within my mind. And Lord, may the message which I give not be about me, and may it not be about what I can do, but Lord, may it be focused and all centered around you. Lord, I pray that you'd help each and every believer here this evening, that we would listen with not just our minds, but also with our hearts, that we would allow ourselves to go beyond the traditions this evening, to go beyond the regularities of life, that we would go beyond just the norm of sitting within a service. Lord, may we open ourselves up to you and tonight in a freshness this evening so that you could speak to us. Lord, we ask and pray all of these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Jonah, the book of Jonah is one of, I would have to say, probably one of my favorite books of the Bible. With all that Jonah and the direction that he has taken in his life, and we see within the book of Jonah, there's so much to learn from him. One of the most impactful books of the Bible, I would say, especially coming through high school into college and then through college itself, is the book of Jonah for me. Much of the life that Jonah lived and the things which he experienced within his life, I found to be so relatable to me. I would say the same to us and all of us as believers. Many and much of the life that we would see of Jonah in the book of Jonah is so relatable to us. The things which he experienced, the things which he went through, and the things which we experience and go through in life are so parallel to that of how we often live our Christian life. We know the book of Jonah very well. We know the story of he. The Bible says in Jonah chapter 1 in verse number 1, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah." God has given the clear word to Jonah to go into Nineveh to preach the gospel. The Bible says in verse 2, "To arise and go," he says. Nineveh, remember, is the city which to Jonah's people has so racially, so hatredly looked down upon them, has abused them to such a large extent that in society's mind, it seemed logical for Jonah to feel the way that he did towards those people. Of course, we know Jonah running the opposite direction. The Bible says he goes, in verse 3, he goes to Tarshish. He takes a ship down to Joppa, the Bible says, that goes to Tarshish, that is. And from there, the Bible says in verse number 4, that notice what it says, the Lord sent out a great wind. Of course, after the Lord sends that great wind, we would know, according to verse number 17, that the Lord, look at what it says, had prepared a great fish. If we were to examine the direction of Jonah's life at this time, it's very interesting to see the reference to how many times the Lord clarifies the direction that Jonah's taking with his life. Look at verse 3. The Bible says, "But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went," where? "Down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Look at verse 5. "Then the mariners which were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it from them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." Look at verse number 1 now of chapter 2. Verse 1 of chapter 2. We're understanding God has prepared a great wind. God has prepared a great fish. The Bible tells us that Jonah's direction in his life is going downward and downward and downward. Verse number 1. "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cry by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. And thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me." Verse 4. "Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even the soul. The depth closed round about me. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went," where? "Down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came in thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving will I pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." The Bible says this in verse 6. Jonah comes to finally this point in his life where he, knowing and now realizing and admitting before God that he's gone down. And in verse 6 it continues, "Thou," look at the end of the verse, "thou brought up my life from corruption." You're in the habit of marking your Bible. I would mark that phrase. The Bible says, "Thou brought up my life from corruption." That word corruption literally means a pit or a grave. The lowest of the lowest point in life. If you could get any lower than the grave where a casket would lay and the body of an individual would be buried, that's pretty low. Jonah's saying, "I am down so low within my life, Lord. I'm realizing now the direction that I've gone within my life, and God, I am turning myself to you." I wonder if you might be here tonight and you are in a low, down point within your life. You know, life would not be life if we didn't go through discouraging times. Life would not be normal if everything was all butterflies and roses and rainbows. Life would not be normal if we didn't have a disagreement with someone, or if we didn't have some kind of frustration within life, or if we might say it this way, if bad things just simply didn't happen. Life's not normal if that's not happening for you. The Bible says Jonah comes to this point in his life that he realizes that God has brought his life out of corruption. I wonder, are you in a pit, in a grave tonight? I asked a couple teenagers just this week. I said, "How was your week?" had one tell me he was like 12 years old. And I said, how was your week this week? And he said, oh, it's just been a terrible week. I'm thinking, like, you're 12 years old, man. Like, what really is going on in your life, right? But the truth of the matter is we live in a society today that is more and more really, in if you want to say, for lack of a better way, we're embracing this very idea of discouragement. If you're not discouraged, well, then, you know, you can't be understood. Let me explain it a little bit further. If you look within even the lives of some who have gone as far as the direction of giving themselves to the sin of homosexuality, it's very interesting. Rooted in itself, in many cases, is often at some point a state of discouragement, depression, a point within their life where they said, you know what? I can't find any love or interest for who I am, and so I'm going to find it elsewhere. Not in every case, but in many cases. This very idea of discouragement and frustration, how do we as Christians look at it? How do we approach it? What do we do? What is it? How is it that we respond as a Christian when we go through that pit of life and frustration? How do we respond? You see, the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter who you are, what direction you're going in life, we all end up in the same pit and destruction. And the truth of the matter is, in the very similar way that Jonah ended up there. And here's how. We all have a sin nature. We all are not perfect human beings. And if we lived in an unsinful world, bad things would not happen. But because sin exists, you may as well say it this way, we bring it upon ourselves. We brought it upon ourselves. May I remind you that in the midst of the most discouraging and frustrating time in life, that God is still there. Amen. The Bible says that God still cares. 1 Peter tells us, casting all your care upon Him. But it doesn't say, just start and stop there. The Bible says just before that, humble yourselves before God. The problem is we think we're already humbled because we think we're going through something that nobody else could understand. But God says, if you humble yourself before me, and simply cast yourself. I was telling the teenagers, we're in 1 Peter chapter 5. The word cast is the very idea of a fishing pole. You're casting yourself. I don't know if we have any fishermen here. My dad and I used to do a lot of fishing in a rowboat. We would go out, and dad would always know just the right coves to go into. And it was not just casting the fishing pole, but it was casting it right into the, you know, right where the branch is and right where the coast is, right? And that's right where all the fish are sitting. You just know they're sitting there until you cast in there and there's nothing there, right? But the idea of casting is throwing yourself before God. Notice how this very chapter begins. Jonah going through a pit, a grave, a time of corruption that feels like he's being destroyed within his own life. How can you get much worse than being inside the belly of a whale, right? The Bible says in the beginning of verse number 1, beginning of chapter 2, then Jonah, what? Prayed. Bringing to tonight, how can you be brought out of corruption in your life? Number 1, pray. Come to God in prayer. You know, some individuals would go as far to say, oh, I'm praying. Man, I'm praying all the time. But once again, when the Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, have you humbled yourself first before God? Have you said every earthly desire, every earthly relationship, everything that you would experience in life as secondary to that of God? Some of us would know from experience within our own lives, the things which God has brought us through has not been for any other reason than us learning to trust within God. And if you're here tonight and you're going through a discouraging and frustrating time in life, God says, trust in me. We know Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy what? Heart. Lean not unto thine own what? Understanding. Don't trust in what you think. Trust in who God is. The Bible tells us, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, the Bible says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God has a reason within it all. And the problem is that we always try to understand. We give our reasons. We give our reasons to our spouses. Well, I don't understand. Why isn't it that? And we give our stressing of why it should be. God says, I have a purpose in it all. I have a reason in it all. To for reasons in which you do not understand. You remember when Lazarus died? Do you think that everyone quite understood what was happening there? If you studied the passage, everyone kept coming to Jesus. The ladies were coming to Jesus saying, "Why weren't you here?" More than one occasion. "Why weren't you here? Where were you?" And they're asking the Lord. They're saying, "You could have healed him, but you weren't here." And yet God, the whole time, making it so clear in his care, one of the most powerful verses in all the Word of God, the Bible says Jesus weeps. That tells us this, that God goes through the trial with us. There's nothing that you can ever go through in life that God does not understand. Amen? God knows. God knows. God understands. But you see, in Jonah's life, here he's just committed a great sin before God. And the point within his life that he's having to come to is realizing that God is in control. And I'm telling you the same as an individual tonight, you're going through something within life. Understand this, we all have brought it upon ourselves by our very sin nature. Can we really expect a perfect life on this earth? The Lord has already told us that Satan will do everything he can to distract us, to disrupt us. The Lord has already told us in his word, as that very roaring lion, he will seek to intimidate, to devour, to destroy, to bring us through a point in time in life to where we're brought so far away from God. That's Satan's desire. Let me tell you, learning from the life of Job, God never brings anything into the Christian's life without he allowing it to happen first. God allows everything to happen within our life. There's nothing that happens by coincidence. God has a purpose in it all. There's nothing that happens by accident. God has a reason behind all things. The Bible says, Jonah, going through this time of corruption within his life, he learns, he comes to God in prayer. When he had nowhere else to go, when he had hardly much to eat, when he had hardly much more to think in his mind, within the stench and the smell and the frustration within his own heart and discouragement of saying, "I could have done better with my life," he's brought to the end of himself and saying, "God, I'm coming to you." And I say, and many times we often come to God, but we don't come to God in such sincerity. What I mean is this, is oftentimes we come to God only when there's the need. But coming to God with such a genuine desire, "Lord, it's not just because I'm going through this, but Lord, you know that what I'm going through is difficult. And Lord, help me to trust in you. Help me to depend upon you. Help me to look to you and to see your purpose behind it. And Lord, even if I don't see the purpose, may I still keep trusting in you." The Bible says that as we go through this corruption in life, how do we come out of it? We come to God in prayer. The Bible tells us the time and the place of Jonah's prayer. The Bible says Jonah's in the fish's belly. Talk about a weird time to pray, right? Here he is laying on the tongue of the whale, flopping up and down. "Lord, please be with me." He's praying to the Lord. May I say, oftentimes as Christians, we go through discouraging times in life, and we don't think to pray to God at any point in time, even right then and there at that very moment. I remember, you might as well say, being rebuked by even a teenager. And within my first year here as a youth pastor, and there was this something discouraging. I was frustrated, and they knew I was frustrated. And as I'm sitting there trying to figure out what to do, here I've got one teenager with me, and they'll look over at me and said, "Maybe we should pray." And boy, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and humbled me right then and there, made me realize how ashamed I should be as a Christian, let alone a Christian leader, and not think to pray. I wonder how many times, fathers, we go through things in life that become so frustrating and our children see us go through it. Do they see you pray? I wonder how many times, mothers, your children know that you are discouraged and frustrated. Do they know that you're praying? Do they see you pray? The Bible tells us the time and the place in which he prayed was not that he went to that special prayer corner. He didn't wait until he got to a certain place to pray to God. He prayed to God right then and there. And the Christian that understands that the corruption which they're going through in life can be brought out of their life by God is the Christian that says, "God, it doesn't matter the time. It doesn't matter the place. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. I'm going to pray to you at any time, at all times. The Bible says the time and the place of his prayer. Number two, the desperation of his prayer. The Bible says in verse number two, look at what it says. And said, cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. Notice he says, I'm crying. I cried. He says, out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. I'm going through a literal earthly hell. I'm inside the belly of a whale. God, do you not see the frustration, the discouragement that I'm going through? And why is God bringing all this in Jonah's life? To bring him closer to himself. May I say, that's the very reason why God allows us and causes us to go through those times, that we would be brought closer to him. The individual would say, oh, we don't understand. This individual passed, and I really love them. Oh, you don't understand. I was friends with this person for the longest time. Oh, you don't understand. God understands. And here's what God says. Trust in me. Here's what God says. I have a purpose in all things. Here's what God says. Cast yourself before me. Believe in me. Believe that I have a reason behind it. And know this, that in every tear which you shed, Jesus is also there with you. He knows exactly what you're going through. The time and the place of his prayer, the desperation of his prayer, was to cry out to God. Notice the third thing here in verse number two, in verse number two, the Bible says, thou heardest my voice. The Lord heard him when he prayed. You know, sometimes we pray and we tell ourselves, well, I don't really know if God actually heard me. Well, I really feel like I'm talking to a wall. There's no prayer that God cannot hear. Amen. Even in the midst of the belly of a whale, God still heard Jonah. The Bible tells us the scripture in his prayer. Many believe Jonah to be quoting that of Psalms 31 and verse number 22, where it says, for I said in my haste, I am cut off from before mine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplication when I cried unto thee. Here Jonah's taking all that he knows to be right and truthful, and he's praying it before God. God, I know your promises. God, I know what your word says. God, I'm trusting you, putting my complete faith and dependence upon you. I know that you're behind this. Is this how we pray as Christians? God says, I can bring you out of corruption. Here's where it starts. It starts with you and your relationship with me, praying to him. Number two, remove all secondary causes in faith. How do we bring ourselves out of a life of corruption? The Bible tells us that we pray to God, but number two, we remove all secondary causes in faith. Notice what he says in verse three. Jonah's speaking here. He says, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. I've taken the time to circle the thou, the thy, and the thy in that verse. Because here's what Jonah is now acknowledging before God. God, here's what I see. It is, it was, and it always has been you. You've been behind it all. The Bible says and clarifies for us here, as we read a moment ago, that God sent out the great wind, that God prepared that great fish, that God had caused it to swallow him. And Jonah, now coming to this point in his life, he realizes that God is the one who's in charge. As Christians, we don't often like to admit it. We don't want to accept it. The acceptance within our life goes when we have stopped talking about it and chattering about it as though God's not in it. Could I just encourage you? This happens quite often among believers. Rather than showing our dependence upon God when someone asks how we're doing, we pour out our entire self to them. Now, don't misunderstand me here. We all need someone to talk to. Amen? We all need that brother and sister in Christ, and we just need someone to talk to. We need that encouragement. But be careful that you don't hurt the testimony of Christ through all of the waxing eloquent and pouring out of your discouragements. May other Christians, may other believers see us go through the time of discouragement, but yet see us trusting God within it. You remember the disciples as they were in the boat? They said, Lord, take away the storm! And God said, I'm right here. The truth of the matter is we should be asking God to bring the storms into our life. Because it's through the storms, it's through the times of discouragement that God allows us and grows us and brings us and molds us into who He wants us to be. The Bible says we remove all secondary causes in faith. How do we remove all these secondary causes? Number one, examine your sin before God. As I mentioned a moment ago, here's what we have to understand. We're all sinful beings. It's only because of sin that all of these, that anything difficult, anything frustration, that bad things in life do happen. It's because of sin, the Bible tells us. The Bible says in verse number 4, look at what it says. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. I'd mark that phrase. Here, Jonah, the entire time, he's trying to get out of the sight of God, and he's run away from God. Oh, Lord, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to run away. I'm going to get on the boat. I'm going to get out of here. He gets onto the boat, and all the men, they cast lots, the Bible says. The lot falls into Jonah. The men say, why didn't you? What are you doing? Why are you running from God? Jonah's trying to get out of the sight of God, and it's only up until now that he realizes that God has really placed me out of His sight. God's doing this to me on purpose. The very thing which I wished for before is the very thing that I have right now. The very thing that I was doing with my life to begin with is the very thing that I'm experiencing right now. He says, I'm out of the sight of God. Our sin within our very bodies, our nature, the Bible says, tells us, it causes us to be removed out of the sight of God. If we're ever going to remove every secondary cause within our trust and belief in God and believing that He's in control, we've got to begin by examining our own life. God, why is this going through my life? Well, let me search my own heart. Maybe it's through a frustration for an individual. God, I'm just giving that to You. May I not say anything negative about that person. God, it's a financial difficulty that I'm going through. God, rather than begging to other people, I'm begging You. God, it's through a loved one, someone that's passed, and I just can't seem to get over this thing within my life. You're giving it all to God, trusting in God within it, depending upon God within Him. You see, it's because of our very sin, the Bible tells us, that all of these things happen. God says, trust in Me. Examine your life. See Me within it. See that it's because of sin that we're cast out of the sight of God, and we need to cast ourselves into His sight. Examine your sin before Him. Here he is all this time trying to get away from God, and now he truly finds himself away. Look at what verse 4 says. He says, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Why is this phrase so important? Because it's only up until this very time that he's actually repenting now before God. Here he's had to wait until he's inside the belly of the whale until he's actually repenting before God. You know, one of the first things we don't think to do when we go through a time of discouragement is repent to God. Because we don't think we've done anything wrong. We don't think, it couldn't be me. This is what the thing's happening to me. It couldn't possibly be me. God says you go through a difficult time in life, bring it to God. It's not about anything more than Christ in seeing that it's because of sin that brings us here. Verse 6, the Bible says, and I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord. Now he's acknowledging. Here he's just admitted, he's repented, and now he's acknowledging, God, it's You that can bring me out. How do we bring ourselves out of a point, a pit, a time of discouragement? God says, come to Me in prayer. Remove all secondary causes. It starts by you examining your own life and asking God, is there something in my life? Is there some sin in my life that I need to cast before You? Am I causing myself to have some ill thoughts towards this very situation that's keeping me from trusting in You? You see, truly giving the situation to God is when we're no longer doing anything more than just saying, you know what, it's in God's hands. It's in God's hands. The Bible says, examine your sin before God. Number two, humble yourself before God. I said a moment ago, the Bible says, humble yourselves before God before we cast ourselves before Him. In verse 7, He says, my soul fainted within me, and it was then that I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto Thee, unto Thine holy temple. His humbling of himself caused him then to see God. God, I've examined myself. I've looked within my life thoroughly. I've looked to see if there's any sin within me that's keeping me from trusting in You. Every detail, every individual, everything that it could possibly be. Lord, I've so given this to You that I'm no longer going to discuss it as though You're not there. You realize that going as far as to discuss a frustration to where we've already said it to a thousand different people, and now we're discussing what it is that person did, or we're discussing now what it is that we experience within life, or how it is that financial reason didn't work out, or what our boss said to us, or how it is that family member didn't treat us right, and we begin to wax eloquent upon all the details. The details are what get us in trouble. The details are what build that bitterness, that frustration. The details are what cause us to not see that God is in control. The details is what keeps us from removing those secondary causes. God says there's nothing wrong with bringing your burdens to others and having them help you to pray for them. There's nothing wrong with having somebody to talk to. There's nothing wrong with sharing your feelings, but be careful of this, that you would allow yourself to, through your discussion of it, ill the very testimony of Christ, and then ruin your very trust within God upon His promises. Humble yourself before Him. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Listen to that. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The Bible says God experienced everything. He knows exactly what it is that we're going through. God, remember, was 100% man. God knows what it feels like. By the way, may I remind us this evening that we think we've really gone through it. Think of what all God has gone through. And all the hatred, and the very crucifixion, the ripping out of His beard, the nailing of the crown of thorns, placing in of those nails within His hands and His feet. That God would go through so much for us, we would say that's the love of God. But yet we, in our lack of trust in Him, choose not to think of those things and what God has done for us, but rather think on the frustration. God says, humble yourself before me. In verse 16 of Hebrews chapter 4, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The word boldly there has the idea of aggression. We're coming with haste. We're coming without hesitation. Let's come to God. Lord, give me mercy. Mercy. Mercy is something that even though we know that we deserve it, that the individual is choosing not to give it. God says, come boldly to the throne of grace and ask for mercy. Why? Because we're acknowledging before God that we have sinned. Lord, give me grace. God says, how do we remove these secondary causes? We humble ourselves before God. Number three, we hold unto the mercy of God. Notice what he says in verse 8. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Jonah is realizing here at this point within his life that he has forsaken God, his only source of mercy. As you might be going through a difficulty within life, we're not taking light of those things this evening. But we're understanding this. God says, are you seeking mercy and grace from me? Have you humbled yourself before me? It's not just seeking it, it's then holding on to it, getting a firm grasp upon it. The Bible says forsake. It's the very idea of turning away. You're not seeing God within it. You're not seeing that He is the controller behind it. Let me give you the third and the last thing here. The Bible says we come to God in prayer. The Bible says, number two, that we remove all secondary causes in faith. And number three, we give back to God in thanksgiving. Verse number 9, the Bible says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. You see, now he comes to the position, the same very position that the mariners had come to. Notice what the Bible says in chapter 1 concerning the mariners and the ones who were on the ship with him. In verse number 16, actually look at verse 10 first. The Bible says, then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? They're afraid. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 16. Then the men feared the what? Lord exceedingly. They begin by fearing the situation. Now they're fearing God. Look at what they do in response. The Bible says, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Look back at verse number 9 of chapter 2. Here's what Jonah says. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. How can you give glory to God in thanksgiving? It begins first through sacrifice. It begins through sacrifice. He says, I will sacrifice unto you. God, I'm willing to give it all up. The very reason which you're causing me to be swallowed by this whale, to be down into this deep pit of my life, to be in this point of discouragement within my life, if the very reason is to strip everything away from me, then God, I'm willing to do it. I'm sacrificing everything. I'm giving you everything. I'm putting to death everything else within my life and placing my complete trust in you. The problem with discouragement and frustration is we can't let go. We keep holding on to it. We keep getting a firm grasp. We're just so frustrated. We're just so upset. God says, give back to me in thanksgiving. Lord, thank you for your mercy and your grace and all that you've done. You prepared it to begin with. You caused it to happen. You brought me through it. And Lord, I understand within my own life that you were teaching me to come to the end of myself. And Lord, I'm setting everything else in my life aside so that I can give my full and complete focus upon you through sacrifice. And then he says, I will pay that I have vowed. Lord, I promised to you. I already told you long ago that I was going to be preaching the gospel for you. Lord, I'm a prophet of you. I'm a prophet of God, Jonah says. I'm a preacher. Here I've already made promises with my life, and God, I make a promise to you once again now. Lord, what I'm going to do with my life right now is serve you. And I'm not going to allow myself to dwell upon the difficulty, but I'm going to allow myself to dwell upon you. You know the greatest way to get out of a time of discouragement and frustration is to get busy for God. Get busy for God. Get busy in the house of God. Get busy doing the things for God. Give the gospel out to others. I tell you, if that doesn't bring the joy of Christ to you, then something's wrong. There's nothing in the Word of God that says that as human beings, we won't go through times of corruption, times of discouragement within our life. We won't go through those pits and those valleys, those discouragements. But God says, in all that you go through within life, are you willing to give it all up, to sacrifice everything? Are you willing to make a promise and a vow before me that you'd be willing to do whatever I ask you to do? He says at the very end of this passage, salvation is of the Lord. God, thank you for your mercy and your grace. You saved me, and I realize now you can save others. God, I realize that the reason for all this was completely you and entirely you. It had nothing to do with me except for my sin. That's why I'm here. And Lord, that this would strengthen me within my life, that I would step forward and live for you better. I can't say that I understand why it is that you may be going through that thing within your life. Can every one of us fully understand entirely when comparing ourselves one to the other? I don't believe it's fair to say that we could entirely. But God understands. And God says, trust in me. God says, believe that I'm in control. Believe that I'm behind it all. In verse number 10, notice what the Bible says. And the Lord spake unto the fish. guy here prepared the great wind to cause the people to then throw him off the ship. He prepared the great fish to cause him then to be swallowed by the whale. He's now prepared the fish again to then vomit out Jonah back on the dry land. And if you look even further within the passage, he doesn't stop preparing. In verse number 6 of chapter 4, the Bible says the Lord prepared a great gourd. Do you remember in Jonah's own life, he's struggling with the very same thing which he started with to begin with, out of bitterness, except this time it's not so much as much towards and directly towards God as it is towards individuals. And the Bible says that God also, in verse 7, he prepared a worm. In verse number 8 of chapter 4, the Bible says God prepared a vehement east wind. Do we see that God is constantly preparing and preparing and preparing us in our lives? God is at work behind every single situation, no matter what it is. If you would take your Bibles and turn them to the book of Job, we'll look at this last passage together. Job chapter number 23. If you think of any individual who lost everything, how could you not think of Job? Job losing all of his wealth, all of his family, losing his wife, losing his friends. Everything that was meaningful to him, he lost. And if you read all through the book of Job, you see the discussion which he had through his friends, and towards the end of the chapter, he begins to have a discussion with the Lord. And in chapter 23, in verse number 10, notice what it says. Here's Job speaking. "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." God is bringing me through the trial. Why? To purify me. To make me into what I should be. God has a reason behind this. Do I understand? No. Someone would argue and say, you don't understand. It's not my fault. We keep looking at whose other fault or whose other reason or what other reason in this world that it is. I couldn't help the situation. Job finally stops and he learns this. God, you're trying me so that I can come forth as gold. Look at verse 11. "My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Lord, I don't even want to eat physical food anymore. I just want you. Lord, I don't even want necessary food anymore. I just want you in my life. Look at what verse 13 says. But he, in his one mind, and who can turn him, and what his soul desireth, even he doeth. Verse 14, "For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me." I love verse 14. Here God is performing a work in Jonah's life. He's performing that work. In verse 16, he says this, "For God maketh my heart," what? "Soft." If we would stop as Christians and just let God soften our hearts, bring us to the end of ourselves, stop looking at all the reasons, pointing the fingers, giving the reasons why. Well, logically, systematically, theoretically, Lord, is it not possible that you... We give every other excuse. God says, "I'm in control. I understand." God weeps with us. He's there together with you. There is nothing that you can ever go through in life that God does not understand. Lord, I pray that you would help us to ponder these things within our hearts this evening. May we see not ourselves, may we see not our flesh, but Lord, may we see you and only you. Lord, I pray that you would help us and the ones here this evening maybe who are going through a difficulty within life. Lord, that they would not run from you, but run to you. Lord, that they would stop staring at the whale and start looking up to you. Lord, that they would stop giving every reason for why this and why that and see that you prepared, that you're working, that you're softening, that your desire is for us as Christians is that we would come forth as gold. You're here this evening and you'd be honest enough to say, "Pastor Stephen, God's spoken to my heart. I'm going through a difficulty in my life and I realize that I need to be trusting God more than I have been. God's reminded me of that. Some of it I've known, but God's reminded me tonight I need to be trusting Him." Anyone like that here tonight, could I pray for you? You say, "That's me. God's spoken to my heart. I see those hands." Anyone else? Pray for me also. I see those hands also. Amen. You can put your hands down. Anyone else? Pray for me also. There's a time within my life. I tell you, it doesn't matter the age. We all go through difficulties. We all go through frustrations. How many of you would be honest enough to say, Pastor Tim, you know what? I'm trusting the Lord within this difficulty of my life. I really am. I'm doing the best that I can. But it's pulling me down. It's pulling me down. I'm going through a valley. I'm going through a difficulty. Just pray for me. I'm doing the best that I can to keep my focus on God, trust in Him. But pray for me. I'm going through that time in my life. Anyone like to hear tonight? See, that's me. Amen. Lord knows. The Lord knows. Lord, I pray that You would help each of these ones here this evening who You've spoken to directly. Lord, You've shown us as Christians here tonight that the truth of the matter is all of the things that happen in life is only because of our very sin. Lord, I pray for the ones here this evening who You've spoken to directly. They need to trust and depend upon You more. Lord, may they cast all their burdens before You, not upon others, not upon their own life, but Lord, all before You. May they humble themselves before You to see You within it. May they allow You to soften them to where they can be molded into all that You want to be. And may we as Christians come to the end of our life be able to say and see that salvation truly comes from You. I pray for these ones who are already doing their best to trust in You. They're looking to You. They're depending on You to their fullest, but that which they're going through is difficult. Lord, may You comfort them. May You draw them closer to You. May You give them a peace within their own heart and a reminder within their own heart. And Lord, as we've discussed tonight, may they, in the midst of this frustration, may they get busy for You. May the very busyness and the desire within their own heart to serve You draw their mind away from the frustration and give a greater love for You. Lord, we pray now in the time of our invitation here this evening, may You work within our hearts. May we respond to You as You would lead. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's